Hey everybody, I'm Larry Jacobs. This is 3K12 Education Talk Radio. It is the 7th of June, 2021. And I just want to make mention that yesterday was the anniversary of D-Day. And that, I know last week was Memorial Day weekend, but I just, being the old history teacher and far older relatives than me participated in that amazing event as soldiers, okay? And I just want everybody to kind of remember that this June 6th is D-Day, and it was a major turning point in World War II, as you all know, and really should be remembered quite carefully. Just had to say that as we get started for the week this week. We have a wonderful show this morning. I have a guest that's never been on before. Roger Rosen is here. He's president of Rosen Publishing. They have been working since 1950. Okay, in the world of K-12 literature, and they're going to talk to us about what they're doing now with the product they have called Level Up, which is CODI nominated. It's cool. And with Roger is Aaron Lockledge, who is their vice president of digital development for Rosen Publishing, obviously. All right, and it's rosenpublishing.com. You can just go over there anytime. We'll say that a million times here. We're going to archive the show over at ace-ed.org, ace-ed.org. That we are the voice of the American Consortium for Equity in Education. Everything's there at ace-ed.org. All our podcasts and our brand new issue, which is a fabulous issue. There's a whole huge cover story on female leadership in the education industry as we talk about gender equity, et cetera, which ended up within our magazine, which is called Equity and Access. It's an online journal. It lives at ace-ed.org. Please go over there. This is a huge issue. It's got some great stories in there. Everything we do over there is free. We'd love you to join our consortium. That's free, too. Again, ace-ed.org. And without further ado, and I hope you do go over there because this issue, we're pretty proud of it. It's really a good one. And I'm bringing on right now, I usually do ladies first. He's the president of the company. I don't know. I think I'm going to do Roger first. Hi, Roger. How you doing?
Hey, Larry. Nice to hear you, Larry. Thank you for having us on.
Oh, you're kidding me. It's my pleasure to have you on. You guys do great work. Aaron, let's pretend I went to you first. Hi, Aaron Lockledge.
Good morning, Larry. It's nice to hear from you.
Oh, it's a pleasure to have you here too, Aaron. It really is. You're VP of Digital Development for Rosen Publishing, and in the little bio you sent me, I did some math here. You have 2 decades of experience in creating prize-winning ed tech solutions for students. I did the math, and you started when you were 11. Is that correct? 2 decades?
Yes, just about that, Larry. Good
that is astounding. It's a little-known fact. I'd just like to get that point across to everybody. Okay, it's just great. And, Roger, I did do my homework, and I got the feeling, and I'm not sure of this because I saw his name, Richard Rosen started the publishing house. I think it was 1950. I'm not sure of this. I assume that's your dad, but can you give us a history of Rosen Publishing just before
yes,
we get into all the stuff
Gary.
That's hot?
Yes, yeah. Dad and Mom in 1950, and I'm glad you mentioned D-Day because Dad fought in both Europe and in Asia as an aerial photographer and founded the company as a GI, you know, having been a GI, and was very much committed to the notion of social equity, providing materials for all students. And we talk about that now, creating democracy-ready students by providing material that allows them to be strong critical thinkers. So, yes, it's a great tradition. I came in 1980. But Dad and Mom started this in 1950.
And I love the fact Dad and Mom. I got to say, I love the fact Dad and Mom started it because in those days the moms kind of were not working. Okay, so that's really a cool little fact right there. Okay,
absolutely.
Was she a teacher or what was her role? What was her role?
She had gone to Smith in political science, so she was a political scientist. Yep.
Wow.
Very much a pioneer in as an entrepreneur.
Wow, I'm very impressed. That's the Rosen family, everybody. What got Dad into starting this?
I think, you know, basically, you know, being a bibliophile, he thought that the greatest way to impact society was through the dissemination of knowledge, through books. He had a wonderful library, even as a young man, and like you, a big history buff and a huge collection, especially of militaria in campaigns that he participated in. So, yeah.
Wow.
That was his background.
Wow, that's cool. Was it always an educational publishing house?
Yes, we started as young adult publishers, and about 25 years ago went more into pre-K to 6, and now we do cover the range of pre-K to 12. Always
right.
Correlated to the curriculum in one way or another.
And there's something else I have to bring up. When we were planning the show, you gave me a title for the show, which I'm using, Ensuring Equity of Access to Authentic Literature for Beginning Readers. And I love that title. But why do you choose the word literature? I must ask that question. That's a great word to use. I never see that with stuff we do. Go ahead.
Well, essentially, we publish in both nonfiction and fiction, and I think the key is the authentic literature, meaning we're reaching out to authors with authentic voices, be it as historians, teachers, be it as writers writing from their own experience, many authors of color who speak to their experience so kids can see themselves in the books as the protagonists and what they're going through. And we do a lot of material with primary sources. So I think this notion of authenticity is what establishes the literary bona fides of what we do, both in print and electronically, because everything we do in print, we also do electronically, be it as e-books, interactive e-books, contribution to databases, and, of course, our new foundational literacy program and platform Level Up.
Right. That's CODI nominated, right?
Yep, we're finalists for the 2021 CODI, and most excitingly for us, it is in exactly the category where we positioned it to have the most impact, and that is Best Foundational English Language Arts Literacy Solution. So it's very gratifying to see that recognition.
Okay, Level Up from everybody, Rosen Publishing, rosenpublishing.com, Level Up. You can check that up. And I was harping on the word literature, and I love the way you switched that over to authentic, that these are the voices that make a difference, and that becomes literature, and I love that. So I was thinking more like, are you talking about Silas Marner, which I was hoping not. Okay, I got what you mean now. Okay, authentic literature,
yes.
And it makes sense. Okay, Aaron, okay, you're VP of Digital Development. Just talk about your role there. Aaron Locklidge, everybody.
Okay. So I work with a team of very, very talented editors and technologists at Rosen, and our job is essentially to, take a lot of the wonderful resources Rosen has, the authentic literature, the enormous backlist of tens of thousands of titles, and find another channel to really meet students where they are. Print, in my mind, right, is never going away, but we know that kids are coming online for material more and more frequently. About 15 years ago when we launched our digital division, we knew that the kids were coming for this material online, and we started with it is still one of our flagship subscription databases called Teen Health and Wellness. And part of the impetus was that Rosen has a long history of publishing guidance material. And we had, librarians would tell us all the time that our books were the most often stolen from their print collection.
Am I supposed to say congratulations? I think so. Congratulations.
No, it's an honor. It is an honor.
It is. I hate to say it. As much as that is, it is. It's an honor. It's funny.
We were publishing on sensitive topics, that things like drug abuse, health, sexuality, eating disorders, and kids didn't want to bring those books up to the circulation desk and check them out.
We
knew that we would be able to put that content online and make it accessible to anyone who needed it, and do it in sort of a non-judgmental, objective way and take that stigma away from them. And since, Teen Health and Wellness launched probably almost 15 years ago at this point, we've expanded that digital program, and Level Up is the most recent project, but we certainly have a vast number of interactive ebooks through our Spotlight program. We have ePoint Plus, which is a collection of over 10,000 ebooks. So there's, our digital arm has kind of reached out in a lot of directions now to really meet students where they are.
The way of the world, and that's perfectly all right. And, of course, this past year, needless to say,
Absolutely.
That digital took on a whole new meaning. It always has for years, okay? I agree with you. I hope print never leaves, all right? But by the same token, we know that digital's so key, and you guys have that. And this year it came to the rescue. I want you to talk about Level Up. And I'm just going to read a few things about it. Again, it's a Cody Award finalist in the I have this down here, Best Foundational, I love this, Best Foundational ELA Instructional Solution category, okay? And the Codys are really important from SIIA, okay? And just to be nominated is a great honor, and, of course, winning will be – when is the – when actually, when will you find out if you won? When's this?
June 23rd is the ceremony, Larry.
June 23rd. Is it? Where is it? Is it live this year?
It's virtual. No, it's virtual. And you can share with your listeners. They can find the access point on SIIA site. But June 23rd is the date.
Okay, good enough. It's kind of like the Golden Globes. Okay, they're going to be virtual. Yes, and we'll see. We'll see your living room.
Right.
Right. So. What can I tell you? Get one of those things. Get a fake library behind you so everybody knows. Put your book up, okay, so that everybody can see it just like everybody else does. I hope you win. I wish you the best of luck.
Thank you.
I want to just go down a couple of things. This Level Up is a – I'm going to read some stuff about it. I want you to talk about it. A customized digital library for every student and any student, I might add. Over 2,400 pre-K-3 high-interest books, digital books, interactive scope and sequence phonics program. Listen to this, 700-plus Spanish and other bilingual titles, optional highlighted text read aloud with every book. This made me really – this is great. 250-plus printable activities and writing practice sheets. All books are readily available online, projectable, mobile, etc. Then there's assessment, progress mentoring, and reporting. And then, of course, you have parental support, which all of this is part of your Level Up. Again, Rosen Publishing. So I want to ask you a question, okay? Roger, you've been in this business a long time. When you guys first started publishing, you might publish a small teacher's guide with something, all right? But the level of what you have now, okay, it's so much deeper, and you, like everybody, everything you do now is so much deeper, okay, in terms of bilingual, 250. Talk about what goes into something like Level Up and how you make your choices, et cetera, and you can swing it over to Aaron if you want, but I'll start with you. It's just amazing.
Thank you, Larry. Yes, well, I mean, this is the first program that we've built that actually can do progress monitoring. Heretofore, you know, we focused on essentially inquiry-based materials, databases, you know, for research and reports, often available through the school or public library. With Level Up, you know, our IT department really surpassed anything they've done heretofore because of the AI in the background that through the students' interaction with the program, they can get just right books. And we have a strategic alliance with Metametrics, so every book is Lexiled, and they, through their reading, and the computer and our system knows this, we know exactly where they're at, and this will provide the just right text, so we can track student growth and development, and through the correlation of titles to each state's skills and standards, which is absolutely unique, because every single title is correlated to every single state's skills and standards, we know where a student might have a particular weakness. So this is an amazing diagnostic for teachers and parents, but not only do we have the diagnostic, we have the remediation of that particular weakness because we can assign, or teacher can assign the appropriate text that will remediate that weakness, providing five or six other titles that address that particular skill. So that is the highest level of AI that, you know, I think is unique in the field. Aaron, do you want to speak a bit more about that? I think this is one of your
specialties. Go ahead, Aaron, please.
Sure, of course. I mean, I think, Roger, as Roger pointed out, the ability to target books to students' just right reading level is huge, and the ability to identify skills and standards that students are weak on is also huge. When a teacher goes in to look at the report to see how their students or their classes have performed, they see their own state standards. So if you are in Texas, you see the TEKS. Wow. If you are In a Common Core state, you see the Common Core. It makes it very simple and quick and easy for a student to say, look, you know, little Larry is struggling with cause and effect. What can I do to help him? Or for an administrator to go in, a principal, let's say, and say, okay, you know, Mr. Rosen's class seems to be struggling in general, whereas another class might be doing a little bit better. So there's some diagnostic, and then there is that remediation there. I think one of the other things that is really important to point out is that this program is expressly for students in pre-K to 3. And I can't emphasize how important that is.
Thank you.
What often happens there's a lot of literacy programs out there. What often happens is some titles get added at a lower reading level, and all of a sudden, you know, oh, this is great for all of your elementary school students. But it's a program that's not designed for young kids. You know, I have four children. I have young kids. They need a different experience when they're online.
Yes, they do.
They're not as sophisticated. So this was really designed expressly for those pre-K to 3 kids. So they have all the bells and whistles they need, but they don't have all that other functionality that they don't need and that overwhelms them and confuses them and, you know, makes them need a parent or a caregiver or a teacher to walk them through the program. They can work very independently because this is made just for them and for their age group.
And I think
the user interface
reflects that. You know, it's very intuitive, but it is all the graphics and all the pathways are built very much with that specific emerging reader population in mind. And that's certainly also the case with the gamification component of Level Up that is one of the huge incentivizing components of what we have, where kids, as they read, get points to obtain avatars and other elements for this virtual world that we've created that is, you know, every bit as sophisticated as Minecraft. The graphics are just extraordinary.
That's good to know. That is important these days. Kids are so visual, I got to tell you. In this pre-K 3, we do a lot of work here, okay, with NAEYC and groups like that. And we are very, very concerned. That's the National Association for Educating Young Children. And we are very, very concerned with pre-K, okay? And we're firm believers it needs to be universal pre-K, just like there's universal K-12.
Yes. Yes.
Okay, because I'll use the old cliche, you build a good foundation, you build a good house, you build a better house. But the point of fact is a lot of kids, if the state, the schools don't provide it, they don't have the vocabulary, the reading resources, et cetera, that they need in perhaps lower socioeconomic situations. So we have to provide that. It's just so darn important to make it happen. I want to make one point about what Aaron said. You mentioned little Larry. Do you remember him? Aaron?
I do.
Okay. I want you to know little Larry is not so little anymore. Okay. Little Larry needs a diet. Okay. What can I tell you? little Larry is long gone. All right. I'm just kidding, obviously, but you should. Well, never mind. We'll move on from there. Titles. How do you find titles and authors? I'll ask Aaron that. How do you find titles and authors? Or maybe it goes to Roger. I don't know, but I'll ask Aaron. Titles, authors.
Titles and authors, that is something that we have, you know, 50-plus years of experience doing at this point. So we have an enormous list of books to draw from. I have a team of editors who hand-select the books that they think are the best ones for Level Up. But we really focus on sort of depth and breadth. So we have curriculum-correlated titles across a wide range of science, social studies, math-related topics. We have lots of high-interest books. So if you have a reluctant reader and they want to read about sports or cars or crafts, you know, there's material in there for them. We have quite a bit of social and emotional learning content.
That's key.
We are committed to the whole child. I think during COVID, there's just, you know, there are a lot of kids who have been through all sorts of trauma and are dealing with all kinds of things. So if we can, you know, sort of make that social and emotional learning piece a little bit more prominent, you know, that's something that is pretty unique to Level Up. We're also committed, really, as Roger said, to having every child see themselves in this platform, and that brings us brings us back to authentic voices. So, for example, one of our authors, Dr. Lorenzo Pace, he has a number of books on our platform. He's, you know, he is an absolute luminary. He has designed one of the sculptures in New York City called Triumph of the Human Spirit that pays homage to African slaves. He writes about his own personal experience as a child in this book called Jelani and the Lock, which is on the platform. So we're, you know, we're very committed to making sure that every child who comes to Level Up sees something that's representative of them and of their experience.
Yes, and you know, Larry, that we, I'm sorry to interrupt, we publish more than 1,200 new books a year, Rosen and our sister companies, Gareth Stevens, Cavendish, Enslow, and Greenhaven. So across all of these companies, it's a massive publishing program. So unlike a lot of ed tech companies, I mean, we are publishers first, providing print materials that we know kids love because we see the circulation figures, and that does inform Aaron's team as well in the selection. So as Aaron talks about depth and breadth, I mean, we have, you know, very compelling fiction at all reading levels, with all Lexile levels, but again, we're very cognizant of not only the learning to read, which is, I think, best manifested in the phonics program with the scope and sequence, but in reading to learn. And in the reading to learn context, you know, we deal with specific disciplines like social studies, history, math, earth science, life science. So each of the disciplines, you know, you can do searches to provide the just right material that address those areas of study. Some areas have what we call, you know, dedicated swim lanes, you know, sort of like the Netflix model. And social and emotional learning is one of the areas that has a dedicated swim lane, so that you can find titles just on that subject. So it's a wonderful and easy and intuitive search methodology.
Yeah, it's key, and that SEL is so important. Every school, literally every school, okay, is so interested in this. And I'm curious, I'll ask you, Roger, when you do ESL, when you do SEL, social emotional learning, okay, is it incorporated, and maybe the answer might be both, are they books that incorporate that into perhaps a fictional story, or are they books specifically nonfiction, if I may, about SEL, or maybe it's a combination of both, but I'm just trying to get that point across so teachers understand that, because that's key, and I have to say something. No, as far as I know, not a single teacher college, okay, teaches how to teach SEL, and they need all the help they can get because it's so important. So when I find these things, I like to get a little bit deeper. Talk about how it's incorporated or part of what you do, social-emotional learning. Roger, or Aaron, whoever you guys want to answer as well.
Happy to take that up. That's an excellent question, Larry. Well, it's both ways, as you suggest. I mean, the nonfiction is specifically correlated to the CASEL framework, which we think is the strongest framework in providing SEL roadmap, as it were.
I will not argue.
And so that is, you know, very explicit, and be it the standards and the that are under the larger framework. But I absolutely agree with you that the literary experience, I mean, of connecting with a fictional title, and the, let's say, the journey or the travails of a given character is, in a sense, the essence of SEL, because you have this transformative experience where you're relating in a emotive way with what's happening. And that is very much present. We have the correlation there, but it's not as explicit when it's a title that, you know, is about, say, I don't know if you know the concept, you know, wabi-sabi, that, you know, something is imperfect is more beautiful for being imperfect, a very important idea for children, a title that incorporates, you know, some aspect of compassion, but it doesn't specifically speak to compassion. But we, so in a sense, we definitely have both nonfiction and fiction, but the correlation is there so that you can, through the filtering within the platform, you can find both.
And it's so important to do this, and it's like, I'm going to say it again, teachers need all the help they can get with this. And this is pre-K-3, and it has to start there. It has to start there, and it has to continue. All right? And it's just some boy, we all got caught short. We've been talking about whole child learning for years. The pandemic showed us how short we were on this. I'm just so glad we're working on this. I want to ask you something, because, and probably Aaron will answer this one. I know there's a way to monitor children's progress, all right, and assess the kids within Level Up. But one of the things that you folks want them to do is to keep reading, okay? They're not just reading for the sake of getting a score, all right? We want them to have a love of reading and learn to read on their own. So I'm curious, and Aaron, you must have built this in, the motivation to keep students continue reading on Level Up. And again, we're talking with some pre-K kids, and maybe their parents, I might add, okay? And maybe their parents mm-hmm. don't even speak English. Who knows? Okay, just talk about how you get people excited and moving up.
Sure, Larry. So, I mean, first off,
that's
there is the nature
please,
of
people. Aaron, that's
themselves.
Little Larry. That's little Larry. Former little Larry.
I think we all have some of those pandemic pounds.
Yeah.
So there's the nature of the books themselves, obviously, that are they're visual, they're beautiful, they're highly engaging. So on the most basic level, we, as Roger said, we can track, you know, which books are most popular. We have handpicked the books that we know kids want to read. We also have Level Up Land, which is essentially this sort of immersive 3D playground that kids have access to. They, as they read, if they are taking quizzes that their teacher has assigned, as they're completing tasks in Level Up, they're earning credits that they can then go into Level Up Land. They can redeem those credits for characters, for vehicles, for objects,
yeah,
and they
cute.
Can build their own immersive world, very much like Minecraft.
That's
you know,
cute.
As you said earlier, kids are so visual, so it's very sophisticated. Because your average kindergartner is a pretty sophisticated consumer of technology and of gaming in certain ways. So I think that that's been a huge driver. And teachers can control access to that if they would like as well in the classroom. So, you know, you give them a little bit of time on the game to motivate them, and then you bring them back to your instruction.
Right.
Larry,
please, Roger, go ahead. Please.
Thank you. Yeah. The other thing I wanted to add is that every single title on Level Up is developmentally appropriate for pre-K to 3. So there's nothing that is too high a level that would be an inappropriate title. That's why it's confined to these age groups. So it is absolutely true that there will be titles that are too difficult for a certain child at a certain reading level. But notwithstanding, they could access that title because of their interest, and they could hear it read as an audio book. And one of the important aspects of that, and you mentioned potentially socioeconomically deprived kids or perhaps kids who do not have a native English speaker as a parent. These titles, when read, are read by actors, so it's not text-to-speech. And as such, they are marvelous models of fluency. And that's critical. When we talk about equity of access, you know, and there's a lot of studies about kids' development, how many words are they exposed to in a given day by parents, this levels the playing field because every kid who uses Level Up has access to over 2,400 titles, and regardless of what their reading level is, they can hear it read to them by, you know, a range of actors and actresses that provide this model of fluency and fantastic for building vocabulary. So we say we don't want to restrict access to any title. Let their passion and curiosity take them where it will. And it's very important in reading, we talk about the stretch. So by seeing a subject that interests them, maybe they don't have all the vocabulary needed to comprehend it 100%, but they're stretching to read it, to hear it. Maybe they go back and read it. So this is a great part of Level Up.
Thank you for saying all that, because that is really key stuff. Actors as opposed to just computer voice. I think that's wonderful. I think that's wonderful. I want to ask you, What are you hearing? And either one of you, I'll ask Roger, you can pass Darren if you want. What are you hearing from educators using the product? How long has the product Level Up been out there, and what are you hearing? Okay, and I'll throw it to Roger. You can pass it to Aaron. It doesn't matter.
Thank you, Larry. Yeah, well, we launched just before COVID, so we just had a few months before COVID hit,
yep.
If you can imagine that. But notwithstanding, you know, we've had beautiful take-up. We have many, many testimonials across the country of teachers and administrators who have been using it, who have adopted it for their classrooms. And I think there are a couple elements. One is saving teacher time, because unlike other platforms, it really does not require huge teacher involvement, because the student, because of the intuitive nature of the platform, can do their own selections and navigation, and the testing that comes at in periodic moments, the closed testing that Metametrics provide, is not with every book, so we don't interfere with the love of reading and the reading experience. And I think so the saving teacher time and the fact that there are not crosswalks to the skills and standards of different states. This is the only platform that has every skill and standard for every state that automatically provides it to a teacher. If they're in Florida, if they're in Texas, what they will see is their state's skills and standards. And so this diagnostic methodology that Aaron referred to is in some ways the holy grail, if you will,
yeah.
to tracking in a very customized way and pinpointing student progress. Aaron, why don't you speak a bit more of that?
Yeah, I think, you know, again, we're getting back to the diagnostic and remediation, but teachers can really sharpen the pencil with just a couple clicks, and they're not spending a lot of time crosswalking from you know, national standards to their own particular state standards, which is cumbersome. The other thing I want to mention that has just gotten, honestly, just enormous love from educators as we share this is that all of our books in the platform, all 2,400 are printable, which is very unusual. So, you know, when we get back to the idea of equity and not every child we know will have access to high quality literature at home, they may not have English language books at home if they, you know, come from a home where English isn't the first language.
Right.
Every book can be printed out. A teacher can send home a printed copy
wow.
of a book. So every kid can take a book home in their backpack at the end of the day. And that really, that's something that we were committed to and felt very strongly, you know, in terms of providing equity, that was important to build into this.
Yeah, and providing access as well, because we learned too many kids did not have broadband at home. Okay, so the how to
exactly.
get how to get information and assignments, et cetera, to kids. And I have to say, your product steps up, but so does every these teachers work so hard. The schools work so hard this year
do.
To try to get every kid, you know, and believe me, I talked to some school districts. I remember one in particular that I think they're in rural Arkansas. We had on the show, and I think their Xerox machine, their copy machine, it broke down
mm-hmm.
because they were making so many copies of stuff because there were so many kids who didn't have access. And that's just such key stuff, you know, and it's just so important. I just want to ask you one last thing before we go. We talked about teachers. We talked about administrators. I know you guys are concerned about parental involvement, okay, and I saw that in a couple of places. Is there anything special that you do for parents with Level Up? Is there anything we need to discuss on that level?
Yes, I mean, we've given a lot of thought to this, especially during COVID, to make sure there were resources for parents to be able to help their kids using Level Up at home. And I think all of the parent material that's readily accessible through the knowledge base, which we've enhanced actually for a summer program, speaks directly to parents, and we provide that in both English and Spanish. Aaron, you want to speak more to that?
Yes, I think, you know, in addition to what Roger just mentioned, the other piece is the read-aloud feature. So, again, going back
mm-hmm.
to parents may not be English language speakers. They may want to read to their children
yep.
at night. they can either access a Spanish language book if they're Spanish speakers, for example, or they can listen to the book together. So they still get, you know, that one-on-one time together, and they're having a bedtime story, but they're listening. I think the other thing that really is key, quite frankly, is that the interface is simple and intuitive. I know parents, as a parent, and other parents have told me, you know, they were overwhelmed during COVID with all of the sorts of tools that their kids suddenly had access to. You can sit down and jump right in and figure it out, and you don't need to be incredibly tech savvy. Kids can work independently, or they can work with a parent, but it's not going to require a huge amount of parent or caregiver involvement to get them up and going on the platform. They can work on their own if need be.
You know, and I just have to say, I love what you said a minute ago, and it's true. Every kid can have something read to them before they go to bed. I mean, literally. Some parents can't read. Some parents are working when the kid goes to bed. I mean, let's face it.
Absolutely.
It's a simple little thing, but it's just so darn important. It builds vocabulary, and I don't have to tell you how important a good bedtime story is. It's unbelievable. You guys were terrific. We have to leave now. Okay, hopefully we'll be doing more. Okay, because I really enjoyed this. This is great. This is a great project. Roger, thank you. I'm so glad we connected on this.
Thank you, Larry. Very gracious. We very much enjoyed it as well, and we certainly will do this again.
We certainly will. And Aaron, you take good care of Roger.
I will. Thank you, Larry. It was a pleasure.
Take good care of
him. Thank you,
Larry. It's a pleasure to meet you both. Please, the pandemic may be 90% over. There's still 10% left. Be careful out there. Okay, we'll talk again soon. Thank you both.
Thank you, Larry. Thank you. Bye-bye.
Take care. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Thank you. Bye. That was from Rosen Publishing, rosenpublishing.com. It's Roger Rosen, who's the CEO and president, okay? Good company, all right? And Aaron Locklidge, who is their VP of Digital Development. She helped create this Level Up program, okay, which is now CODI-nominated, and it is fabulous. And I wanted to get that point across. This is the CODI-nominated thing. You got to learn about it, okay? Rosen Publishing, Level Up. You can probably just Google that phrase. It'll pop right up there. We'll archive over at ace-ed.org. Welcome to Monday. We got another show coming up in about an hour. Okay, that one with school communications in an age of diversity. Really interesting. I'm Larry Jacobs. You take care. Thanks for listening to Pre-K-12 Education Talk Radio. Ace-ed.org. Go over there. Rosen Publishing. Go over there.